This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A weekend of unspeakable violence. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, May 16. Glad you could be with us. Here's what's up this hour.
We're learning more about the accused gunman who killed 10 people at a grocery store in Buffalo. Turns out he expressed an earlier desire to shoot people.
Two people are dead after a flea market shooting in Houston. Also, churchgoers in California tackle the gunman who opened fire at a luncheon.
Overseas NATO officials meeting in Berlin say Russia's military advancement in Ukraine is losing momentum.
And the businesses that are booming post-pandemic, ones tied to self-care.
A lot of them have been looking at themselves on camera for 1 to 2 years, and they don't feel refreshed. They don't like completely what they see. And so they're coming in, and now they're getting a touch-up, or they're getting a full-face rejuvenation, or they're getting other procedures done.
Eric Adelson at the Washington Post on the surge in customers at self-care businesses. The teenager accused of killing 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket had been on the radar of authorities since last June when he was brought to a hospital by state police for a mental health evaluation. At the time, he wrote in high school about wanting to shoot people. He was released a day and a half later. Saturday, police say 18-year-old Peyton Gendron committed a hate crime when he carried out a mass shooting at a store in a largely black neighborhood of Buffalo. 11 of the 13 people shot were black, 2 were white. Buffalo Police Commissioner Joseph Grimaglia.
There was nothing picked up on the state police intelligence, nothing that was picked up on the FBI intelligence. Nobody called in. Nobody called any complaints. You monitor any social media.
According to a document posted online that police believe he wrote, the writer describes himself as a fascist, a white supremacist, a racist, and anti-Semitic. Dressed in tactical gear, Mr. Gendron allegedly opened fire with a semi-automatic weapon and was broadcasting it in real time on Twitch. Two people are dead and three others are hospitalized after a shooting at a crowded Houston flea market. Authorities say the incident yesterday stemmed from an argument involving everyone who was injured. Investigators say there were no innocent bystanders hurt, despite thousands of people at the open-air market. Harris County Sheriff's Major Susan Cotter.
There was an altercation between five Hispanic males. The five Hispanic males got into a fight, which ended up them drawing guns. There are two deceased on scene.
The market is 14 miles north of Houston's downtown. Authorities did not immediately provide further information about what led to the shooting, but said all the people involved were men in their 20s who appeared to know each other. Elsewhere, seven people were shot Saturday night in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, part of a string of linked attacks. Nobody was killed. The incidents are not considered to be random. Authorities say a shooting at a church in Southern California could have been a lot worse if congregants had not risked their own lives by stopping the gunman. Police say as bullets were fired, a group of churchgoers pinned the gunman to the ground and hog-tied his legs with an extension cord. One person was killed, five others wounded yesterday at a luncheon at the Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods, about 45 miles southeast of downtown Los Angeles. Orange County Undersheriff Jeff Halleck.
That group of churchgoers displayed what we believe is exceptional heroism and bravery in intervening to stop the suspect.
Police said the gunman, an Asian man in his 60s, targeted the Taiwanese delegation. Separately, Chicago police say that five people, including a 16-year-old boy, are dead and at least 11 others have been hurt in shootings across the city this past weekend.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Skyrocketing food prices are alarming lawmakers who worry about the mounting impact on U.S. consumers and rising hunger around the world. Last Wednesday, the Labor Department reported a sharp spike in food prices as of April, representing the largest 12-month increase since 1981. Various reactions from Tobias Burns, staff writer at The Hill. Toby, start with the numbers.
There was an annual leap of 9.4% in food prices as of April for the past year, which is the sharpest increase in more than 40 years. And this is coming as overall inflation is also hitting 40-year highs, including energy, household goods, all kinds of stuff. This is a slight dip from what we saw last month, but in terms of food prices, they're as high as they've been in 40 years.
All right, so give us, if you would, from Capitol Hill, like the political spin on who is saying what about inflation.
Yeah, so there are very different political narratives happening here. The Republicans are looking completely to Biden's social spending and these fiscal stimulus packages, which I should say, the first one of these came out under President Trump, but Biden has done more of it, and this is a constant talking point from GOP lawmakers here on the Hill, that they're saying all of this fiscal stimulus has devalued money and is making things more expensive. On the other side, Democrats are saying, look, this is a global phenomenon. This is happening everywhere. This is a fundamental result of deep supply chain issues and deeper mechanistic aspects of the economy that are affecting everyone. Plus, you've got geopolitical crises like Ukraine that are adding to it. So very different stories being told.
We're speaking with Tobias Burns, staff writer at The Hill. His piece is called Soaring Food Prices Worry Lawmakers as Global Hunger Rises. From Washington, are lawmakers talking about how to address things maybe on a global level or just in terms of how that would trickle down to, say, rising prices in the U.S. for food?
Yeah, you're correct to make this distinction, because these are really two different phenomena. One is that we're seeing a global issue that the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization is talking about with their own metrics that are really inspired by bigger things than what we're seeing here in the U.S. The U.S. is very much lawmakers are describing the fundamental aspects of our economy and our banking system and our financial system as pretty solid, all things considering, though we are enduring inflation. On the global level, the war in Ukraine, Ukraine being a major breadbasket in Eurasia, which supplies a lot of wheat, barley, and other grains all over Africa and the Middle East, that is really a consequence of the war, the Russian invasion, that you've seen a near stoppage of that agricultural channel. So while the U.S. is a microcosm and a particular case, it's really a symptom of much larger systemic issues that the world is facing now in general.
All right. So you cited in your story California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who cited corporate profiteering here. Did she cite any evidence? Is she suggesting price gouging?
Yes. So this is another thing that Democrats are talking about as a cause of inflation. They're citing record corporate profits, we're seeing now, that which is really a result of a rebound from the initial dip that we had following the coronavirus pandemic. The corporate profits have really surged as the economy in many parts of the world has come back online. And, the energy sector for Q1 this year over last year more than doubled their profits. This is happening in a wide variety of industries. And Democrats are saying, hey, you're making a lot of money here while people are hurting at the pump and elsewhere. So there's legislation now being debated to put the brakes on that.
All right. So you got reactions too from the National Grocers Association. What do they say about all this?
Yeah. So grocery store trade groups are saying that they're sensitive to this phenomenon as well. And grocery stores are famously a very low margin industry. So, yeah. They don't really want to associate themselves with these spiking prices. But, they're saying that they're seeing different consumer behavior, especially among lower income people and lower income households, saying, you know, you're swapping brands, making different choices, buying less of their favorite foods. And so industry is really, you know, at the same time that they're making money, they're really, you know, they're sensitive to what their customers are facing now.
Thanks, Toby. Tobias Burns, staff writer at The Hill. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The white gunman accused of committing a racist massacre at a Buffalo supermarket made threatening comments that brought police to his high school last spring, but he was never charged with a crime and had no further contact with law enforcement after his release from a hospital. The revelation raises questions about whether his encounter with police and the mental health system was yet another missed opportunity to put a potential mass shooter under closer law enforcement scrutiny, get him help, or make sure he didn't have access to deadly firearms. FBI agent Stephen Belongia.
We continue to investigate this case as a hate crime, a federal hate crime, and as a crime perpetrated by a racially motivated violent extremist.
The 18-year-old traveled about 200 miles from his home in Conklin, New York, to Buffalo to commit the attack.
Number two.
One person is dead and five others injured in a shooting during a meeting of Asian churchgoers in Southern California Sunday. Orange County Undersheriff Jeff Halleck cited exceptional heroism by church members who stopped the shooter at the Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods.
We believe a group of churchgoers detained him and hogtied his legs with an extension cord and confiscated at least two weapons from him.
Four victims suffered critical injuries.
Number three.
Ukrainian forces say they have pushed back the military Russia in the region around Kharkiv in northeastern Ukraine and near the border with Russia, continuing a counteroffensive that has prompted Russian troops to withdraw from around Ukraine's second largest city. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Sunday Ukraine can win the war following an informal meeting of the group. His comments came after Finland announced it would apply to join NATO, a historic move for the traditionally neutral Nordic country. Sweden is expected to follow suit. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness stayed on top of the box office charts during its second weekend in theaters, earning an additional $61 million from North American theaters. With $688 million in global grosses, it's already one of the biggest grossing films of the pandemic and the second biggest of 2022. But a 67% fall is also a steep drop, even for superhero films.
All right, thank you, Jen. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Most employees want control over their work schedules. With a recent study from Slack finding 94% of workers want flexibility on when they work and 79% on where they worked. Leadership coach Jay McDonald, author of a book called Strategic Jaywalking, says flexible work schedules can be a blessing and a curse. Jay, how do you see them?
Gordon, they're here to stay, that's for sure. The workspace and schedules have changed, I think, forever. The employee has the upper hand on this. Employers are going to have to be flexible. People want to work where they want to work, when they want to work, and want to have meaning and purpose in whatever they do.
Do the employers, Jay, regain the upper hand if and when there's a recession?
I don't honestly think they will, because when there is a recession, while some employers may have to cut back on their number of employees and how they do things, they're also going to look at the most efficient ways to do things. And the market is still going to remain competitive. And there are far more jobs out there currently than workers. I think still the supply and demand issue for the best people will be very competitive and be to the advantage of the employee rather than the employer. The employer is going to have the right job opportunities, pay, and flexibility to attract the best people and keep the best people.
How does an employer square this when you've got employees who like working from home and are okay with Zoom because they get to trade out their commute, I guess, versus the employees who feel like Zoom represents a lousy environment in which they're disconnected, not given choice assignments, and maybe overlooked for promotions?
The way to square that, in my opinion, is to over-communicate, if there's such a thing as over-communicating. Employers and employees have to stay connected to one another, to collaborate. During the pandemic, more and more leaders reached out to employees about things that were personal. How are you doing? How's your family doing? What kinds of things are you doing in your spare time? Those personal things that aren't too personal but are connecting these organizations' leadership with their employees. And from a promotion standpoint, you've got to know, one, you have to have key performance indicators to know what people are doing and how they're doing it, while at the same time recognizing high performers, developing them, giving them opportunities for exposure, which is more difficult via video conferencing and virtual meetings. But some companies I'm working with are doing things to involve their teams with live activities that are often more social and team building than work, but to keep the connectivity there.
Thanks, Jay. That is Jay McDonald, leadership coach, also author of a book called Strategic Jaywalking. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Your brain's morning workout. You're listening to America's First News This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, May 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The alarming picture emerging of the Buffalo shooting suspect. There were also deadly shootings at a Houston flea market where the victims knew each other, and a California church where congregants tackled the gunman and tied him up for police. If you bought a home under construction and didn't close yet, your mortgage rate could be double what you were expecting. Weekend sports collapses belong to the Pittsburgh Penguins and Phoenix Suns. And the paralyzed former football player who scores another victory. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Americans have the ability to earn guaranteed 4% interest when money market funds and savings accounts aren't even paying half that. The catch? The IRS has to be sitting on your tax refund. That 4% rate for individuals took effect in April, up a percentage point from the prior quarter. Here to explain is Richard Rubin, tax writer at the Wall Street Journal. Rich, how's this work?
Yeah, it makes sense when you think about it, right? Like, it's only fair that if you have to pay the IRS interest when you're late, they have to pay you when they're late. And that's a provision that's been in the tax code for a long time, where if the IRS is more than 45 days behind in getting you a refund, then you start accruing interest. And, you know, normally we don't have that very often, but in this sort of pandemic moment with some changes in the law, the IRS, as we all know, is incredibly backlogged. And so it's paying out much more and more in interest payments along with late refunds than it used to.
Wow. So the 45 days, that's postmarked from when I sent the return in or when they claim they received it?
It's typically from the deadline. So, you know, normally for your mid-April individual filings,
okay,
it would be interest would start accruing around the end of May. It can vary by year and whether you're filing amended returns and whether you're a company or an individual, but generally it's from the required filing date.
Got it. How far, by the way, at this point is the IRS behind?
Millions of returns, you know, 9 or so million returns that they're waiting to process. I think they, you know, some of that is 2021 returns that have just come in the past few months. And so they're, you know, we're still in early May, so they're not technically behind on those. But some of those are 2020 returns that are, if they have refunds attached to them, accruing interest. And it's actually worth pointing out, the IRS is very, and people have noticed this, if you are filing your return and it's not processed, but you sent them money, the IRS is very quick to pull checks out of envelopes and process them because they want to earn the interest. If they're getting money, to have that money in the bank. And then, you know, they're like very, and there's, you know, they're very on top of that. But then, you know, when they owe you money, they don't actually, for, again, understandable reasons, like send that out until they're sure that they are sending you roughly the right amount. And then they'll send you an interest payment with that.
Mm. We're speaking with Rich Rubin, tax policy writer at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called IRS Has Millions of Delayed Tax Returns and is Paying Billions in Interest to Those Waiting. What does the General Accounting Office say about this?
Yeah, the GAO says that IRS should sort of pay more attention to this. They think there are ways that IRS can speed up processing, there's been a long debate about whether there should be what they can do for the subset of returns that people prepare on software for whatever reason can't e-file and then print it out and send it in, that there's got to be a way to process those faster other than people, IRS employees, circling numbers with red pens and other IRS employees typing them in. You can't see me making my frantic typing motions, but I am, because that's what it's like. So they've made recommendations on that, and they think IRS should sort of be more focused on trying to reduce this number. $3 billion, you know, in the grand scheme of the federal government, is not a ton of money, but like, and this doesn't come out of the IRS budget, but the IRS costs about $12 billion a year to run. So they're like, it's a non-zero amount of money that we're talking about, and it's like triple what they were spending 7 years ago.
Jeez.
The IRS's point, which is also valid, is that some of this is not really their fault, right? So we talked about that late May date when it starts accruing. If you think back to 2020, when they delayed the filing deadline to mid-July, interest still started accruing at the end of May. So anyone who was owed a refund filed their return by the mid-July deadline, got a check from the IRS for, you know, probably a few bucks worth of interest just because of the way the law worked. And that's not the IRS's fault. That's the administration and Congress, the way they set it up.
Thanks, Rich. Richard Rubin, tax writer at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. As many elements of in-person life resume, there are a number of small businesses poised to capitalize on the flood of customers looking to engage in restorative and celebratory behavior. Businesses like spas sit at the forefront, thriving off an eagerness to focus on appearances after up to 2 years in seclusion. It's a story by Eric Adelson, reporter at The Washington Post. Eric, what's behind this?
They look at themselves on the Zoom camera. They want to look better than they feel that they look. And in some cases, they want to celebrate not having to look on the Zoom camera. And both of those currents kind of weave together to build certain businesses to the extent, Gordon, that in some cases, they're actually doing better than they were before the pandemic.
It's incredible. All right, so you did this really wild profile of Jamie and Manny Carmona in Orlando. They opened this spa, and the two of them, right, like, dropped previous jobs and just dove into this.
Right. No, this is crazy, Gordon, that Manny was a cook at a vegan restaurant. This is before the pandemic. And then his wife, Jamie, is an ER nurse. And these are long-term jobs. This is what they did. And Jamie took classes leading up to the pandemic to be able to inject Botox because it was something that she just wanted to do. And then as the pandemic hit, they kind of had this awareness, this revelation, let's just try this. We're stuck at home. There was no plan B, is what Manny told me. And not only did it work, did they actually get a stable business, but it boomed. And people coming out of the pandemic flocked to them to the point that they were actually able to leave their old jobs and leave the building that they were in and come downtown. And now they have this sweet loft that they never would have dreamed of before the pandemic. So it's not just that they're able to do both jobs. Now that they were able to drop the private prior jobs and just do this.
Wow. We're speaking with Eric Adelson, contributor to The Washington Post. He's got a good story running called As In-Person Life Resumes, Self-Care Businesses See Surge in Customers. Self-care like spas, for example. So what are their customers saying, McManny and Jamie, when they come in? Like, I'm tired of doing nothing for myself? Is that the basic premise?
Yeah, a lot of them have been looking at themselves on camera for 1 to 2 years, and they don't feel refreshed. They don't like completely what they see. And so they're coming in, and now they're getting a touch-up, or they're getting a full face rejuvenation, or they're getting other procedures done. So that's one group. And then there's sort of the young Gen Z group or millennial group. And this is the selfie generation, as you know, Gordon. And so when they come out and they have this procedure done or they have a touch-up done, then they're sharing it. And then all their friends see it, not only in Orlando where this business is, but also all around Florida, in some cases far away as Miami. And people see that, their friends see that, and they come in. So it's not only that they're getting a boom coming out of the Zoom era, but they're also getting referrals that are free because they're on social media.
Wow. And just back to the Carmonas, you finished the profile at the end of your piece, and here they are talking about expanding, right?
Yeah, no, they're careful people. I mean, they're very happy and excited that this is happening to them, but they want to do one step at a time. But their clients are asking for more. They're asking for the tummy tucks and the lifts and some of the stuff that has nothing to do with the face. And they're thinking about it. The equipment for this, it costs a lot of money, but they're bringing in such steady income that they're actually thinking of doing it. So imagine, Gordon, that 2 years before, as we go into the shutdown, you've got a shorter cook, and you've got an ER nurse, and they're doing crazy hours and just trying to get through the day, get the paycheck. And now they're entrepreneurs, and they're leading the industry in Orlando. It's crazy.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Adelson, reporter at The Washington Post.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise
talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Monday. 9 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A man opened fire during a lunch reception at a Southern California church yesterday, killing one person and wounding five senior citizens before a pastor hit the gunman on the head with a chair and parishioners hog-tied him with electrical cords. Four of the five people wounded at the Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods suffered critical gunshot injuries. Orange County Undersheriff Jeff Halleck.
That group of churchgoers displayed what we believe is exceptional heroism and bravery in intervening to stop the suspect.
Investigators don't believe the gunman, a man in his 60s, lives in the community.
Number two.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul called for executives of social media companies to be held accountable after a white 18-year-old allegedly posted a racist 180-page manifesto online before live streaming a shooting rampage at a supermarket in a predominantly black Buffalo neighborhood on Saturday afternoon.
I'm calling out the social media platforms where this hate can be spewed.
Hochul noted the suspect has been on law enforcement's radar as she called on law enforcement as well as social media platforms to investigate how much was known about him.
Number three.
Two people were killed and three more were taken to a hospital with injuries after a shooting Sunday at a bustling Houston flea market. Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez says the shooting at the market across from an altercation that involved at least two guns in all five of the people. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he expects the Senate to vote on $40 billion in proposed aid to Ukraine on Wednesday.
Expect the United States Senate to finally approve the bipartisan package of $40 billion this week.
McConnell's in Helsinki today meeting with Finland's president. With interest rates rising and housing inventory shrinking, what's driving home buyers to purchase homes these days? The National Association of Realtors says while most of the reasons are pretty mundane, such as wanting a bigger or smaller place, hoping to be near loved ones, or getting a job that requires a move, some are more surprising. In fact, 2 in 100 buyers say their main reason for buying a home was a desire for a better home for their pet.
Wow. We have city folks maybe who picked up a dog and were in an apartment and now need some more room.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Another victory for a paralyzed former football player from Rutgers University. Eric LeGrand, who was injured in a game back in 2010 and left paralyzed from the neck down, opened LeGrand Coffee House in his hometown of Woodbridge, New Jersey this weekend. The 31-year-old broadcaster, author, and motivational speaker admits he'd never even tried coffee until August of 2020 during the pandemic. LeGrand has become a tireless advocate for spinal cord research and a host of other charities. This coffee house was LeGrand's vision a year and a half ago. LeGrand, who's in a power wheelchair, designed the space to accommodate others in chairs or with special needs. The doors are wider, the bathrooms are larger, and there are high-top tables customers in chairs can fit under. On hand to celebrate what was called a LeGrand opening, where Rutgers football coach Greg Schiano and Governor Phil Murphy, the motto of the new coffee shop, to bring unity to the community with the daily cup of believing. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.